go to
this
call.
This call is being recorded.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, but
you're
around
promise.
The, just gonna go around the.
Well, you know, it's okay.
Right in through here.
Yeah, it's okay. Just try not to hit the camera. But if you need it. Okay, so the workshop is on power. So this weekend we've been talking a lot about power and about who we are. And I listened to the session at 12 o'clock, and it's about what we're capable of doing, right? So far, what's happened in the world and to most of us is we aren't really completely conscious of what we're capable of. Because if we were completely conscious of what we were capable of, the world would look different. Everything would be different, right? Because the things that we want, like we want maybe to be, you know, 35 again, or we want the crystal chambers to show up. But we want things that haven't manifested, and the reason they haven't manifested yet is what?
Because
a long list.
So it's a simple list. We don't know we can do it. Yeah, it's in one sense, we do not know we are capable of doing that. So what this workshop is about is what we're capable of. Mm-hmm. You know, not what we're doing now, but what we're literally capable of. So God made us to create. You know, we talked about that, right? We talked about yesterday, I mentioned paperclip, right? Okay. So does anybody ever think of that?
No.
Yeah. Well, I go into Staples and I look at like a whole aisle of paperclips and I go, well, there needs to be just one little metal paper clip. But we are so highly prolific, our minds are so prolific, that we are creating this stuff. But what good is that? We're creating that because we're in 3D. Okay, so we're engaging in the 3D phenomenon and the 3D illusion, creating stuff in 3D. So now, does everybody want to go past that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's a way to go past it. And we're gonna discuss that in this workbook. And everybody here, I believe, has experience going past that. You know, but you get a glimpse. You know, you get a little glimpse, you get a little feeling, you see something manifest and you go, oh my God, did I do that? And you're really not sure if you did it. You know, oh, was that just what do they call that word? Coincidence?
Yeah.
Was that coincidence? So is there such a thing as coincidence?
No.
Well, I'm gonna redefine the word for you. Redefining the word of coincidence, there's an incident and there's a co. So coincident means that everything is working towards that end. The coincidences are working towards that end. So it's not happenstance. It's not by mistake, but it is a real thing. It's cooperatively, incidences cooperating with each other. But who controls the incidences? Who do you think controls that? Do you really think that?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. We really do control those coincidences. We really do control them. But here's the challenge. It's about there are a whole bunch of people on this planet doing different things, and they are also feeding this thing called the quantum field and sending it back to the planet and manifesting some crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know? So when we engage in focusing on that, that's what we get. That's exactly what we get. So guess what? I want to tell you guys something. This is probably the most important thing I'll tell you today. Trump is not in the system.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be funny. He's not in the fifth dimension, so we grab ourselves down to the third dimension, and it's okay. You know, I mean, if you want to know what's going on, I do, right? It's okay to want to know what's going on, but when we like are in it, did you see what he said? Are you excited about that? Did you picture that dress? And we're finally going to get this, and we're finally going to get that, and we're finally going to get this, and this is going to happen, and da-da-da. And we're so self-serving. There's a whole world out there. We're so self-serving. We're talking about our president. Okay, this is the president of Venezuela.
Chavez.
Maduro.
Okay, some of us know some of us. I don't know. Who's the president of Brazil? What I'm trying to say is we are so enveloped in our own culture and what we need to have, we forget it's global. We forget about unity. We forget about it's everybody. That's why immigration laws don't work. You know, because everything, truly, when I look at the whole immigration thing, it's incident by incident by incident. You can't get one blank decision for that. Because there's always a bunch of things that are occurring with a family or with a person or whatever. So anyway, what really needs to happen is wisdom. So what really needs to happen is that our rulers rule by wisdom. Right?
Yes.
And integrity. Well, yes. And integrity is part of wisdom. You cannot, you all know that. You cannot speak in wisdom terms if you are not an integrous person. People, you know, you have a meter. Ding, 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 ding. That person's full of, you know what? Right? That's not wisdom. Integrity is everything. You know? And I think Orb and I had a discussion. Like, we have three things that we won't put up with. Maybe there's five. Maybe there's 20. But one of them is integrity. And one of them is a liar. Mm-hmm. Right? And things like that, right? So how many of you, before we get on the first page, how many of you can be with a person that doesn't have integrity? Why is it impossible? Because they're manifesting some stuff that you have to deal with. See, the point is that these people that are liars and don't have integrity and are, you know, and you do, you're in a foreign environment. And it's painful. You know, right, Scott? It's painful to be in an environment where people are not, don't have integrity and you do. Or you're not a liar and they are. Right? Okay. So we're talking about power right now. So see, they have power too. But I'm going to tell you what. I believe that the power of integrity trumps, use those puns, trumps any other thing. But stepping into integrity and being that person that has that integrity and is willing to tell the truth is really hard sometimes. You know, it's the road less traveled. It's really hard sometimes. So if we want to be light, if we are, as we proclaim, light warriors, light workers, we must stand up for the truth. Not shove it down people's throats, because you can't do that, but we must stand for who we are. Right? Okay. So let's go to the first page.
Okay.
I never know what I'm going to say, but it's really fun talking to you guys.
Great.
It's fun.
Okay.
And we do have people on the phone, too.
Yeah, thank you. So, by the way, everybody on the phone, this is being recorded and videoed, so those will go out for everybody.
Do you want to turn off the light?
Sure, yeah. What do you think, Gord?
Maybe you can't
focus
anymore.
No.
Those right there.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, let's go to the first page. So, I want us to really drink this in, to really feel this. Our power to create and manifest is greater than any other creature. Okay. Only they're pretty smart. They work on instincts, right? But our power to create is more powerful than any other creature. We have disposable thumbs. We can build a building. We can build a bridge. We can build an orphanage. We can take a child in. We can take a stray dog in. We can have an event like this. We are so powerful. We are so powerful. So it is our domain here, but it's also our domain to take care of those that can't be taken care of. You know, so part of integrity is when you see a dog on the street and you go, well, what do you do? Oh, somebody will take it off. Somebody will get it. You know, it's got a tag. Yeah, don't worry about it. You'll get it in the end. That's not going to work out. So my point is that we have great power. We have been given the power to create and manifest our creation. That is bigger than anything that you'll ever imagine. Look what Lisa did last night. Lisa and her journaling circle, right? Okay, so in her mind, I want you to just think about this. In her mind, she had an intention. Okay, so creation starts with an intention, right? A thought that gets gathered together, and a thought becomes a stream of things that become an intention, that become a manifestation, right? That's what it is. But look at what she did. Okay, did you guys feel that drumming circle?
Yeah.
Okay, she created that in her mind. And her intention was to raise all of us up. That was her, well, I know it was. I'm just being afraid. But that was her intention, to raise all of us up. Does everybody feel raised up?
Yeah.
Okay, that is the power of creation. You can also make people feel very, very bad. You can create that too, right? Okay, but I have to tell you, creation is neutral. God is neutral. You can do whatever you want. But what makes you feel like you're ascending in consciousness? Doing the bad stuff or doing the good stuff? Right? Okay. So, we're the only creatures on earth that create entire things that no other creature can create. I mean, you look at skyscrapers, battleships, submarines. Have you thought about that? Somebody built that. Somebody designed it and built that in the ethers. They found that in the ethers, and they brought it into their mind, and they had the intention to have a boat underwater. Are you kidding me? And then here's the thing about manifestation and creation. It's momentum. There's momentum in it. So when you create something bad, that has momentum. When you create something good, that has momentum. And I don't mean bad, good, like judgment. I mean, like, does it help or does it not help? Right? Does it help everyone or does it not help everyone? Right? So just think about those monumental creations. Who did that? Who?
People connected to their higher self did that.
Maybe. But I mean, here's the thing. Do you guys know that you're all connected to your higher self?
Yeah.
Do you know it isn't an effort?
No.
Did you know you don't have to worry about that?
Yeah.
Right? Did you know that it's automatic?
Yes.
It's an automatic thing. What's missing is that you can't hear it. Right? You haven't practiced enough to really hear the message. Maybe you have. But it's automatic. You and your higher self are one. You and God are one. The source and you are one. Right? You got to drink that in. You got to stop saying, oh, I want to connect with my higher self. You know what you should be saying? No shifts in life. You know what would be more beneficial for you to say? What else could we say about that?
Let's be happy.
Well, yeah.
How about let's recognize when we are connected?
Okay.
We are our higher selves.
And what would be more appropriate in our ascension process is to practice. That's really what you got to do. Do you guys hear your higher self?
Yeah.
When we talk.
I mean, you hear. Okay, you know the angel and the devil?
Yeah.
You know the angel that says, don't. The angel says, listen, you need to go that way. You need to do that. That's your higher self. The devil goes, it doesn't matter, that's where you go. Okay, so your higher self is talking to you all the time. It's not magic. It's not a phenomenon that you have to work at. It's there for you. Promise. You guys believe that?
Yes.
Isn't it called intuition by a lot of people?
Absolutely. So who's got intuition?
Everybody.
Mainly women.
Wait. Okay. So that's
perfect. That was a joke.
No, she said mainly women. Somebody agrees with you for what?
I wasn't meaning that. That's just a people thing. Women have intuition, men don't.
Yeah.
That's a program.
I know it.
Yeah. Right. But it's a very insidious program, and it makes men feel like they can't really figure things out.
That's
right.
Right.
That's right.
That's
so that's wrong.
Well, and women tell us that all the time.
That's all right. Okay, so guess what? We're on B. Gods and goddesses are not among us. We are them.
Yes, that's right.
So we've been trained to believe that there's gods and goddesses where?
Out there.
Out there. They're external to us, they're better than us, they're more powerful than us, they can come strike us dead, they can, whatever religion says, right, they can do all those things. But we're them. That's a big thing. So we're truly gods and goddesses walking among the creatures of the planet and are beholden, and they are beholden to us to create with oneness in mind. So whatever we're creating, it must be with oneness in mind. If we are to ascend in consciousness, it must be within oneness, with oneness in mind. So when I make a meal for you guys, what am I thinking?
Of us.
Loving God.
Of everyone.
Loving you.
This is what you would like, and this is what you, everybody else, you know, that all of us want to like it.
Well, you know, that never crossed my mind.
But I mean, in front it's our
Yeah. No, you know, that's a good point. That's a good point. That's a good point, Dr. Warner. What crosses my mind is how can I put so much love into this that they are so nourished by what I'm giving them, that they are so nourished by that. Okay, has anybody ever had a meal that was cooked by someone that wasn't like that?
Yeah.
Okay, food has consciousness. Food has consciousness. Lisa, what's the movie?
Like Water for Chocolate.
Okay, if you have not seen that movie, Lisa turned me on to that movie, and you know, I was a little brain dead.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe both of us
kind of like on that. So she said, watch like Water for Chocolate. I couldn't even get the name right.
What's
that
chocolate
name? Like Water for Chocolate. So what it is, it's a movie about the consciousness of food and how it can kill you. How it can destroy you and how it can nourish you. So but that movie can be extended out into anything. Have you ever seen a little boy build something for his mother or a little girl make something for his mother? And the mother's a jerk, right? And they offer that to the mother and the mother goes, well, you didn't do that right. Okay? That is as destructive as it comes, right? Because she took the love and sucked it right out of that object. And she sucked it right out of the child. And that child walks the earth as an adult traumatized by that. Okay? And we have another workshop on that, like how the trauma has gotten into our bones and how we have to finally let it go. Okay, anyway. So our Earth Mother has supported our illusory creations, and now we have come to a threshold. This is a threshold. Right now we're at the precipice. We're at the threshold of awareness. And we're keep being provided the choice to remain asleep to what we are doing and what we are affecting, or to wake up to what the power is and become responsible for this gift that we've been given. We've been given the gift of creation. Do you feel that man, humanity, ourselves, even look at us, are we responsible for that gift?
Yeah.
We don't act responsibly, but we are.
We don't act responsibly. It's the same thing, Lorelai. So if you don't act responsibly, you're not responsible. You can't have the mental construct of responsibility and then act irresponsibly. I mean, it does. You can. You can do that, but then you can't say, oh, whoops. You're just not being responsible. But you get a chance to redo that every time. So how many people, and this is including myself, because I've become more and more aware of our mother, that's the earth, how many people throw plastic bags in the garbage?
I recycle.
I do recycle.
Oh,
okay.
Recycle.
Okay. Our town, Payson, Arizona, stopped recycling. What should we do?
Wash your bag.
Find another way. Find another way. You know what man's excuse is? Man's excuse is, oh, they didn't provide it for me, so now I don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay? So all of us at this point in our life, and I'm I haven't been doing that. I do it every once in a while, but I really want to knock myself in the head for it. All of us should be carrying cloth bags.
Yes,
we should be going to the grocery store with cloth bags. You know, hold on. Has anybody looked up the island of plastic bags? Does anybody, who knows that? Raise your hand if you've looked that up. What, how does it make you feel? Does it make you feel like you did something good?
No.
Okay, if you were carrying cloth bags and there's still plastic floating in the ocean, who's responsible?
We are.
We still are. Because we just have been, we have, creation is an influence. So when you start doing something, somebody else does it. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I want to put another twist on that. Maybe they get rid of recycle because we're on the precipice of the landing where they're going to take care of all of that.
Well, you know, that's really nice.
I mean, I know, we can use that out there.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm tired of hearing that.
You never know, though.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm tired of hearing that excuse. You know, go to the aquarium in Phoenix and read the stories about what we're doing to sea life.
Oh,
you will throw up.
Yeah.
Okay? And you know what? I guarantee that the Galactics want us to become galactic citizens. But they're not going to do that until we become responsible for the planet itself. We can't say, wow, they're coming to space. No, they're not. No.
Not being in the now.
Yeah. That's like maybe something better will happen. So because we are such powerful, immense gods and goddesses walking this planet with so much power, we have to act as if that's important. That's an important thing. That's not just something that we just go, oh, well. Okay, and I'm not talking about plastic bags. I'm talking about everything that we do, everything that we manifest, every person that we speak to, every thought that we think, every move that we make. We create. We are creating in nanoseconds. Right?
Right.
Who disagrees? I'd like to. No, I cannot.
Look at her tapping the foot.
No, but how can you throw away garbage without using plastic? Now I'm just putting this out seriously. Because I really don't know, and I want to know, because...
Compost it.
I'm talking about trash.
Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Paper.
Well, I don't know.
No?
See, I don't have the answers. What I do know is that there's plastic now that's been created that is biodegradable.
Right, and you can't find that in a grocery store. You can find, by the way, you can buy a garbage bag that's recycled, but then it doesn't break down out there, so...
Trader Joe's. Okay. So here's the first thing. We take baby steps for our life. The first thing we do is buy as little processed foods as possible.
Yeah.
You know, make everything fresh.
Yeah.
If you can grow a garden, Lisa, thank you. Grow a garden. She helped me grow a garden. She made me a responsible person.
Wow.
She showed me how to make a garden. Which is amazing. And it's just, the garden was like, oh, and she told me that was happening. I'm going, and she still doesn't go, okay, it's manifest. But the point is that we can all grow stuff in pots, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we can all do that. We can all think about when we buy that packaged dinner or whatever it is, that we could have made it fresh, right? Okay, so there are ways to cut back. That I don't have the answer to that. But I know there are ways to become more and more conscious. It's line upon line. It's step upon step. It's not ignoring it. When we ignore it, it becomes a massive problem for everyone. Oneness goes right out the door. Right?
Okay. Right.
All right. We're on page two. Or three. Page two. Okay. Now, this is what I've been talking about. It is time to mature into the consciousness and know that our power is sacred. And what we are doing, and that we are changing our reality with every creation. We are contributing to the oneness of all things with respect and honor for ourselves, each other, and each creature. Or are we immature and wielding our power like a child with firecrackers? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who knows a person that just is dead ethically? Okay. What do they do?
Complain a lot.
Okay. Okay, so they're victims.
They believe that everything is for their use.
They are not about unity.
Right.
Oh, you like that kind of guy? The kind of person that thinks that it's for them and not for you?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So we have to understand, and, you know, this is all simple stuff, but do we know where our power wields in the planet? Do we know what we're doing? Are we really conscious, everyone?
No.
Okay. So I say that in order to upgrade our consciousness, in order to move past 3D, we have to be ultra aware of what we're saying. We have to be ultra aware of what we're doing. We have to be ultra aware of who we're affecting. Are we affecting them in a positive way or a negative way? We have to be ultra aware. And you know why it's really hard to do that? Because there's a whole bunch of people that aren't. You know? So as light warriors, as light bearers, what's the role?
Spread light.
Show the way.
Show the way.
You know, it's about light showing. Well, I mean, that's a nice way to put it, but it's about showing the way to others. Show them. Be the example in the world. Be that, right? That's our power as light workers.
Okay. It's like tearing the
book. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So as light workers and light warriors, we know we are part of something much greater than Earth physically, right? We're just not part of the Earth, are we? We're just not, you know, okay. We know our brothers and sisters are waiting for us to become conscious enough to accept our galactic citizenship. How do we become 5D conscious enough to accept these galactic positions in our multiverse? What tools does this take? So who wants to be a galactic citizen? Okay, I'm going to ask why. Well, we really already are.
Yeah.
Now, okay, we already are.
Freedom.
Okay, what freedom does the galactic give you that you don't have right now? What freedom do you have? Because the only freedom that you have, you have freedom to create. You have freedom to think differently. You have freedom to have a different attitude. You have all the freedom in the world. You have that freedom. You have that freedom to make the world amazing. You have that freedom. The galactics can't give us freedom. They do not give us freedom. Okay, what else?
Oneness.
Okay, the galactic, some of them, I think maybe some of them aren't about this. Aren't they about oneness?
Yeah.
Why would they want to help us? Have you looked down on Earth? You know?
They can't jury our jury for us. We have to take responsibility.
And when do we take responsibility? Every moment, right?
Yeah.
Every moment we take responsibility. Okay, page 4. Serving one, serving others. Creating and serving others with oneness as our intention. So when we create and serve others, do we have the intention of oneness? Where does oneness come from?
The heart.
Yeah. The heart, right. Okay. So do you guys remember that do you remember heart, mind, coherence?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody explain to me what that is.
Instead of joining them, if you want to think of it as, I look at it as the joining of heaven and earth. If you think of your heart or your heart center where your soul is, it's that aspect of yourself being aligned with your mind, with your higher mind, your source consciousness. And it's then working in unison, because the idea is not to transcend this earth, it's to unite heaven and earth. And we can actually do that within our own self. And that's how we express the thing afterwards. But it's your heart and your mind working in unison. And the power behind that is love, the motivating factor, love. And then so you take that that's within you and you express it outwardly, and that's how it manifests outwardly into the world, is through your loving actions and loving thoughts to others.
Perfect.
We are all one. We are the one. We're all part of each other. We're not separate beings. And we are here to love and bring love. So it's all from us.
So we, why do we have a brain then?
To store memories from experience.
The brain is to operate this physical body and collect memories.
Yeah.
Because remember, I asked the question at the last one, what was the difference between the mind and the brain? A mind is gone.
Right, good.
it's to learn from experience. So if we tell you something, okay, this dog is behaving this way, where have I seen this? Okay, careful, approach it a certain way. It's only for that. But we're identified with the mind. And the reading I'm going to do afterwards goes into that.
Go ahead. And you guys, they can't hear you, so if you want to share, you got to come up. But, yeah, that's exactly right, Connie.
Can we move the song to the center?
No, there's no way to do that. You have to come up and talk. Did you? Can you hear us? Can you guys hear us?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Kind of very in background. But anyway, we can hear, but it's hard to concentrate.
Okay,
thank you.
Try to talk as loud as we can, right, Moses?
I appreciate it.
It's not about loudness. It's just talking to the phone. It's not about loudness. You're loud enough. It just sound goes somewhere else, not to the phone. That's all. Thank you.
I appreciate the Vedic version. They think of the mind as one of the senses. It's a more elaborate sense. We have the touch, we have the sight, we have the hearing. These are very, you know, input-output operative senses. But the mind is kind of like the one that responds to all the senses, the stimulation. So it's like the secretary of the senses. But, you know, in the Vedic world, they see it as a horse carriage, where the carriage is the body, the senses are the horses, you know, one horse is the back, the other horse is the eyesight. The mind is the driver responding to this stimulation, but the forward passenger.
Oh.
Like the driver.
That's great. So,
thank you, Moses. So here's the thing. The heart feels. It's the thing that feels, right? That's where your feelings start. They start in your heart. You feel compassion. You feel love. You feel understanding. You feel grateful. You feel appreciation. All those things reside in the heart. The brain, the mind, the brain, it's not the mind. The brain thinks. It analyzes. It categorizes. It compartmentalizes, right? So when we are using the brain to navigate our reality, we are compartmentalizing, we are analyzing, we are judging, and some of that is really good. If you have to build a bridge, if you're an architect and you have to make sure that the cabinets are straight, I mean, some of this stuff is really good. But human interaction requires our heart. Being on the planet requires that we feel for each other, or we don't get anywhere. We're just building things, right? We're not getting anywhere. We're not ascending. We're not moving forward. So how many people do you know that their hearts are shut down?
And they have heart trouble, too.
They have heart trouble.
They do.
Hold on. Okay, you should be next. And you should be next. So the reason I'm saying that is because heart-mind coherence is when we use the heart mechanism, that is the feeling, the compassion, the love that we offer the world in correlation with the way we think. So our mind and our heart are tandem, are working in tandem, okay? Do we use a material in this house that reflects solar so that the person doesn't have a big electric bill because we want the world to be better, right? That's heart mind. Let's just get it done. What's that? That's brain.
That's brain, yeah.
Yeah, let's do it cheaply. Let's do this as cheaply as possible. Let's build this cheap, right? You're not thinking about anything. You're using your analytical powers, you're using your mind, and you're not engaging in your heart. How many people have been so hurt that they don't want to use their heart?
They close it off.
They die. They close it off. They break. Okay, a broken heart is not physical. It's a physical manifestation, but a broken heart is caused by trauma to that person's feelings, right? Okay, so heart-mind coherence, which is uniting heaven and earth, it being with love, you know, all the things that you guys are saying, but what really it comes down to is using your brain in correlation with your heart to manifest something beautiful. Manifest something conscious, something responsible. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Drusilla, did you have something? Oh, Mary, well, she made this to you. Go ahead, Mary. Go ahead. Tell me first. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say the heart takes the information from the brain and determines if it's good or bad to use or not to use. But it's through the heart, not the mind.
Exactly. Right. 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 Yeah.
Okay.
What I was going to say was almost exactly.
Oh, well, there you
go. Really? Isn't it true?
You're probably going to have to go up there. That's okay. Never going to hear you.
Well, she has trouble walking. I'll just
walk. Oh, okay. You have to repeat it. Okay.
And there's no way to get through. We didn't make an aisle.
Right here.
I'm trying to think of a quick way to say it.
Okay, quick way.
Our heart thinks, correct? Is that right?
There you go.
Our heart thinks.
Thinks, period.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
We have cells in our heart that think.
Right.
That's exactly right. Right. But so far, the dominant factor in this planet has been the brain, not the heart.
Yeah.
That's
wrong.
The heart-mind coherence.
If I remember all that mess we're in.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm gathering in all this that our programming and the matrix has drawn us away from thinking with our heart.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what is really great about what she just said? In our school systems that are so bad right now, and I don't know, we're gonna just try to do something, get homeschooling, I guess. I don't know. But our systems are have taken all the heart-based things out of the curriculum and only put in math and science and things like that that increase the brain power. So people aren't learning. It's good for me. People aren't learning to sew.
But to memorize. That's all they do is memorize stuff.
Yeah.
Start turning everything over to that brain.
Yeah.
Heart, mind, it also reminds me of the word, one word, empathy.
Yeah.
What is it?
You have to have empathy.
Yeah. 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 You really do. You have to. You know what?
I'll give that other person.
Oh my God, Dr. Juana, I was just gonna say that. So when that's how hard is that?
It's easy.
Well, maybe it's really hard though, right? Walking into the person's shoes because we tend to just
You think there's some reason they did something bad that?
Yeah, we just missed.
And we
Yeah, we go. Oh, that person. That person did this, and he's a jerk, and you know, you don't even know what their deal is, right?
That's what we're working on.
Yeah. Well, let's bring it into that.
All the judgment in the world, I would almost say, I mean, from where I sit, come from not being able to walk with them. Exactly. If we actually walked in their shoes, we wouldn't judge.
Yeah, that's great.
Can you repeat what you just said?
She said,
all the judgment in the world comes from not being able to walk in another person's shoes.
That's right.
Because when you can't do that, that's where all judgment comes from.
That's what it comes from. Well, the only way you can learn is experience it. And the only way you're going to know is actually experience.
That's how you grow. So disempowerment of our sacred power. Disempowering our ability to create a 5D reality is manifested by focusing on serving ourselves. So if you want anything but a 3D reality, we have to give up serving ourselves. We have to give up thinking it's just for us.
You got to start, you have to be sure that you start with yourself, because you can't just forget yourself. You have to start there in that.
That's right.
Well,
you have to serve yourself first.
Well, it's a really hard puzzle. You know, it's a really hard puzzle because that makes sense, but it doesn't make sense. But then it does make sense. But then it doesn't make sense. So it's a really hard puzzle because, see, there are many people that have zero wisdom that you could say you have to start with yourself, and they would start with themselves and end with they wouldn't go any further. They would see, they would justify that,
mm-hmm.
right? So when I say we have to give up serving ourselves, I mean with the idea that what we do affects others.
Right. But we have to love ourselves first in order to serve and
help
others.
Maybe.
But we don't have...
Maybe not. I don't know. See, I don't know if that's true. Claudia, I don't know if that's true. Hold on. I don't know if that's true. One second. I don't know if that's true because I have been, so personally, in my experience, this is my experience, okay? I have been down and out, feeling like crap, feeling like I'm not worth anything, but I will go do something loving for my child. I will take care of that baby. I will make sure that baby is fed and taken care of, and I will not feel like I'm loving myself, but I will love that person. So I am not entirely sure. It's ideal. It's ideal to love ourselves. We need to think about that all the time, but I'm not sure it's why we do things. I'm not sure it's why we love enough.
Exactly. I don't believe that you have to experience everything personally. I think the great leaders of the planet have learned to experience from observing others and what they do and what the results are so that they know whether to do it or not.
Yeah, that's,
you know?
So, that's the easier way.
That's the easier path.
Well, of course, you don't have to, you know, experience all the terrible stuff that's happened.
Yeah, but we're saying to actually feel it within their heart.
Yeah. That's not feeling. That's not experiencing. Going through the experience.
Yeah.
That's mental, like observing and calculating through the heart.
Well,
if that's good or bad.
Here's what I think, and then I'm going to talk to you, Lorelai. Hold on a second.
I'm just going to say
what I think about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I think there comes a time in our lives when we've experienced many things.
Yes.
And that we can take those experiences and draw upon them to learn something else.
Mm-hmm.
So that people who have a lot of wisdom, who are people that are wise leaders, that draw upon experience by observing, have experienced enough to be able to put those things together. And that's what it is. So they still have those experiences in some way. They can have a broader brush now, right? Right. It's like this. It's like if you can learn to scramble an egg, you can probably make an omelet, and then you can probably make a fried egg, and then you can probably make a souffle because you learned the basics.
Yeah.
So wisdom comes from using the basic fundamental understandings and using those to build upon the more complex structures. You see?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the question of serving self, serving others, love self, love others, as it occurs to me, in the 5D reality, it's really the same thing. Like love self. I went and I gave myself a nice, hot, luxurious bath in 5D, and it's all about me, and I'm enjoying it, I'm loving it. It's out of the collective conscious, and everyone is getting that. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going and I'm taking care of or giving some love to someone else, you know, then obviously that's also fulfilling me because I am you and you are me. But it's only in the 3D reality where we have to then stay back and say, okay, and when we're in 3D, it's like an assault on the self. For a lot of people who will serve, but with no, to the detriment of self.
Yeah.
And so because other people will take, in the 3D reality, it occurs like, okay, they're talking about, well, I need to serve me first. And in some ways in 3D, I think that's true. But as we get out of the 3D into 5D, then that conversation won't be as good.
Yeah, and I think...
Hold on a second. I'm going to just interrupt here a second. We have to be aware of them on the phone. They could hear anything you
were
saying.
No, next time.
But from now on, whenever you have something long like that, you can't repeat back right away, then you're going to have to come back.
Okay, so but I'm going to encapsulate. And this is something to philosophically think about, right? Is loving yourself the same as loving others?
Yes. In the 5G reality, it's all one.
Yes. Okay. So serving yourself, like for example, being kind to myself, how does that make me feel?
Good.
And what do I want to do?
Be kind.
Those are reciprocal things.
Yes.
The reason I gave Claudia that example, because I've been in a spot where I don't feel like I'm loving myself, but I feel like I can love someone else. So I know there's a controversy there, and I know that, you know, I know it's better, you know, it's a higher consciousness to have that, but I don't think all of our actions are enveloped. If we don't love ourselves, we can't love someone else.
But isn't what you described, that you didn't love yourself at that time, that would be more of a 3D reality.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was.
So what she described was a 5D.
Okay, yeah. So I agree. So let's agree that if we love ourselves with the intention of unity and oneness, we serve others.
Right.
Okay.
And when you serve others, it pulls you into 5D.
That's right.
Oh my God, doesn't it?
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you guys.
When you
serve others, it pulls you into 5D.
Yes.
The reason I didn't repeat that is because I remember how fun that is, right?
Yes.
So when you're listen, I can't tell you, you know, you guys think I work really hard at, you know, buying the food and making meals. I am in bliss.
Yes.
I am enjoying myself immensely. You know, seriously, it's like I can't wait to do it. I have this big closet.
Oh, so we do you a service.
You do me a service. I have this big closet in the basement, right, Linda? This big closet. And it starts out, you know, I start filling it, and shopping, and then I look and I go, because then I can bring all the food here, and I go, Now, I feel better about simplifying it. Like, I've simplified it a lot. Okay, you guys, I have grown immensely through you. I have grown immensely through you because there was a time when I wouldn't let anybody in my kitchen.
Yeah,
right. What was I thinking?
Okay, that was the time you wouldn't let anybody help you either.
So growing in consciousness, I mean, if we observe ourselves, growing in consciousness is allowing others to be with us, help us, serve us, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I never would have let somebody come over to my house and build a garden with me 2 years ago. It's like, well, I should know how to do that. I should actually know how to do that. I'm not going to let anybody know that
How about anybody know how that goes?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So here's the first thing to transcending 3D is admit. Admit what we've done. You know, it's okay. It feels so good. Anyway. All right.
Very good.
Okay. All right. So what's next? Oh, guys, want to take a break? There's an hour one now.
Yeah.
You want to take a 5-minute break? Okay, come back by 2:10, please.
Wow.